Found it interesting that you all put a cord here so I can't come to you. That's all right. I would come way up to you, but I'll stay here. If you would turn with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to pick up from where we were last time. And as you're turning there, again, what did I do? You want me to get closer? As we're getting all the technical arrangements worked out, the saints at Bristol send their hellos, and our prayers are with you here. And it's just a privilege to be with you again. It's strange for me to be here twice in 1 month, but I thank good Lord for that opportunity, and I thank you for allowing that to happen as well. This morning I'm excited because it says in Scripture there is no greater joy than when you see your children walk in truth. And as Rich prayed this morning, two of my boys are preaching this morning. So that makes me really happy. I'm not sure I can say proud. If it says a proud in a Christian way, then I'd like to say that. But Joshua and Brian are preaching at Prospect. So anyways, 2 Kings chapter 2, well, let's read the scriptures 1 through 15 for continuity from last time, and I'll try to bring everybody up to speed. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, when they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went down and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he too took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters and parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets that which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your scriptures, to see your beauty. Father, we pray that this speaker be put aside, that you would have the full freedom of speech, and that your words would come forth and not man's, and that you would challenge us to change our lives so that we could live for you, for your honor and for your glory. So we ask for your help this morning. We ask for your blessings. And we commit the time to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You're going to see that this is one of the most beautiful pictures of our Lord is right here in these scriptures. It's almost like when he was in the upper room ministry, when his last journey, whether it be John 13, 14, 15, 16, and his prayer the 17th of John, you will see that they were having a last time, the disciples, with Jesus Christ. But here we see it's just two people. It's Elijah and Elisha. And as they're walking, they're going to visit four places. Now, there's a scripture in the New Testament. I'm not going to give it to you now. I want to see if you can find it that this will relate to. And then we'll give it to you at the very end. But these four towns, and we covered two of them last time, or the three towns on the river, we see that he went from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. There's four. These four relate to us today. You and I will go through each one of these places. But it's up to you and your timetable. Some can go through immediately. Some will take most of their Christian lives. It's up to you. You and God. Or I should say God and you. The two greatest things about this is knowing God's will for the Christian life in a topic or an account like this. And those two, knowing God's will, should be our highest purpose of our life when we walk this earth. That purpose should be a constant and a consistency of our walk. People should see us and see that that is our purpose, to give Jesus Christ honor and glory in all that we say and do. We learn God's will for our Christian life by three basic things. One, as we submit to his authority is his word. As we are obedient to his authority, not only submit, but now you have to put that submission into action. And that's, again, his word. And as we are led by the Holy Spirit, according to his word. So it's not good enough that you just read the scriptures. You have to read the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, put it in your heart, and then allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom with you. Because he is not your guest. He's the owner of you. He bought you by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeeming blood. Last time, we followed Elijah and Elisha on his last journey. You see, this is Elijah's last journey. It should be sad, but it isn't. From Gilgal, we stopped and we talked about Gilgal. And just quickly, Gilgal is a picture of safety and security. That's where Elijah lived. And he would always go there to get a breath of fresh air. Same as, and we covered this last time, as Israel would take over the promised land, they would always go back to Gilgal. We see, again, a picture of safety and security. Now, remember the scripture of the New Testament where there's safety and security. That might help you. Then, from there, he goes to Bethel, which means the house of God, or also means the house of dates. This is a place of surrender. Surrender. Every one of you should have made that decision by now, surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're all going to go through these. We have to then go to Jericho, which is spiritual warfare, and then we have to go to Jordan, which is total separation for Jesus Christ. But before we're going to talk about those two places in a minute, but you know, a lot of us as Christians do not want to leave the safety and security of the Christian place. Now think of the scripture of the New Testament, because I'm going to come back to this. And when we're thinking of this, there was one story in the Old Testament that I have to take you to, because you can get comfortable in your own environment. God doesn't want us in our comfort zone. He wants us in our uncomfort zone so that we can depend on Jesus Christ and all that he is. Let me give you the example. I don't know if you ever heard this scripture. If you read the Bible through, you have. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. I'll just read it and I'll tell you the story. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Now, you see, when we get into our comfort zones, into the safety and security of Christian churches or Christian environment, our own earthly environment, whatever the case is, God will stir us up. And this is what an eagle does. An eagle, mom or dad, doesn't matter. They'll have two eaglets in a nest, maybe three. Any more than that, one of them will die. An eagle or an eaglet cannot, they're not born to fly. They have to be taught how to fly. It's not like a robin or a sparrow, they can immediately fly. These creatures have to be taught how to fly. So if they're up at the high peak of a mountain, they fell out of the nest, most likely they would die. So this is what happens. The little eaglet's in his little nest, and they're all in their comfort zone, and mom, who, by the way, is the larger of the two eagles, they have a wingspan of the largest one they measured is 7 feet, and they got the wing... Picture this. And they get to the nest, and they're going to teach the eaglet to fly. So they flutter their wings. Mom flutters her wings. Dad is 6.5 feet, by the way. Mom's 7 feet. And you're flapping away. That scares the eaglet. When an eaglet is scared, guess where they go to? Mom or dad. And then they get on the back of the wing. And they set on the back and they put their little talons, and they dig it into mom and dad, and then mom and dad now flies off, teaching them how to actually ride the wind currents of air, of the first heaven. Isn't that neat? When God says to Israel that he brought them out on eagle's wings, now you have an understanding. You see, they were in their comfort zone. Even though they were slavery to Egypt, they were in their comfort zone. We can make sin our comfort zone. We can make Christianity our comfort zone, and we have to get away from it. We have to be uncomfortable so we can give dependence on God. How many here are uncomfortable? If you're not uncomfortable, watch the eagle's wings. They're coming. You know, see, a lot of times when we surrender all to Jesus Christ, we're still in a comfort zone. We say, God, you have me. I am yours. But we never leave the nest. What does that mean? You have to uproot and go somewhere else? No. What you have to do is take the spiritual gift or gifts God has given you and put them into practice. Not for your honor, not for your glory. It's all about him. And we have to remember that. Okay, so that's where we're going. Now, we see that they're in Gilgal. They leave that safety and security. They already hit surrendering in Bethel. And then I'm going to pick it back up now in 2 Kings. We will not cover all these verses. I'll see how far we can go. We're going to go back to two verses, one that we're talking about in the New Testament, but one I want to give you that's been a great help for me and maybe be a challenge for you. All right, so let's pick it up where we last left off, and I'm going to go to verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. I actually want to go to Jericho. So let's go back to verse 3. The sons of the prophets, verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And you see the love that Elisha has for Elijah. He learned so much from him. The decision that he had to make is a decision that is required of you and me, that we need to move on out of our comfort zones and move on for him. We see that over and over again, Elisha will say the same thing, that he will not leave him. We see that Jericho is a picture of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare happens when we learn to follow God completely. You see, the evil one has no use to bother you if you're not moving for Jesus Christ. You're not moving against him, against the evil. So if you're not moving against the evil, there's no reason to bother with you. Spiritual warfare, again, then happens when we learn to follow God completely so that we are separated not only from the sinful world, but from the sinful self-life and living for Jesus Christ. Many Christians just want to settle down in the church life. They follow a program of church attendance week in, week out. And that's nothing wrong with that, but you have to have a progression. You see, in their life, there's no progression is made in their Christian lives. They are there Sunday mornings, maybe Wednesday, personal training to separate from sinful life, self-life is needed. Where do we go get this personal training? Well, you need it in the comfort, but then you need to move on. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 5 is the same as verse 3. Then we go to verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. So I didn't want to spend a lot of time in Jericho because let me go back for a minute and just say this. How do I get through spiritual warfare? What is it? What scriptures can I follow that will help me when I move for the Lord Jesus Christ completely? You know what? I mean, there's a lot of scriptures you can follow. Go to with me just for a moment to Ephesians chapter 6. I really didn't want to spend a lot because there's a whole teachings on spiritual warfare. I just want to bring you to the different cities and places that Elisha is going through so that he can learn and we can learn from him. Because we're all going to go through this. Just a matter of when do you want to go through it. Ephesians chapter 6, when we are ready to enter a spiritual warfare, we see in verse 10, what do we have to do? We start off with a conclusion, because I'm not going through the whole book of Ephesians, but we'll start off here with the conclusion, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How can you be strong in the Lord? And the power of his might. Anybody know how to do this? Well, you have to have a place of safety and security. You have to be with the Lord Jesus Christ to be strong in him. And you have to surrender all. Now, what I mean by surrendering all is literally that you have to give your time to God. When you get up in the morning, what do you say? Another day has been given to me. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice, or we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Do we say that in the morning, or do we just go about our daily business and say we have to do whatever we have to do, and we don't even bring God into it? Have you even brought in scripture in your life and meditated on the scriptures? To be strong in the Lord means you have to spend time with the Lord. Look at the greatest battle Jesus Christ went under. The greatest battle was the cross of Calvary. And prior to the cross of Calvary, where did he spend the day? He was in a garden. In the beauty of what he made. And then shortly, while he's there, he calls on other like-minded people to pray with him, to spend time with him, to surrender all with him. And what happened with those others? They fell asleep because the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. But Jesus Christ didn't fall asleep. He spent time and he said, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. not my will, thy be done. And he was asking for strength. And two angels came and strengthened him. What did they do? You see, they spent time with Jesus Christ. We're not given the of what they actually did other than just being there. And beloved, if we're going to go through trials and we're going to take on the uncomfortability of life, we need to spend time with Jesus Christ. Look at his scriptures and meditate on them and hold to the truths. And then put it into action as we go along. It says, finally, brethren, verse 10 of Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord. The only way I can be strong in the Lord is allowing him to have control of my life. And in the power of his might. We don't even understand the power of his might. But if you did this, beloved, then we can say what it says in Philippians, all things are possible through Jesus Christ. Nothing's impossible. It says, to do this, you need, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor, not just pieces of it, but on the whole armor. That means you have to walk around, and hopefully it won't be too heavy for you or for me. You know when armor gets heavy is when we don't exercise. And you know where exercise it is? What exercise? Prayer is exercise. It's work. But so isn't meditation. It says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we do not want to leave the comfort zone. We do not want to leave Gilgal. We do not want to leave Bethel. But what did Elisha say? I'll go with you wherever you go. Paraphrase. I'm going with you. Why? I was talking to somebody on this yesterday, and he says, well, he wanted the double portion of what Elijah has, and you see, he was selfish. I said, excuse me? I said, sit down, we're going to talk. You see, he wasn't selfish, he wanted the double power. You see, Elisha's life, he started off, we pick him up, and he's serving, right? And he's on the 12th of the oxen. He's not even in the front. He's got the remains. And he owns the land by way of his father. He doesn't even have to be out there. And he's serving and he's waiting and he's been praying. We don't read about that, but he was looking for an opportunity to serve God. How do we know that? Elijah walks by, throws him his mantle, his clothes. He didn't throw it back. It wasn't a tennis match. He grabbed it. He says, let me go say goodbye to my parents. He didn't say, let me go bury them. He said, let me just say goodbye to them. And he was looking for an opportunity to serve God. So when Elijah says, ask anything from me, what did Elisha say? You see, he was already thinking about what his answer would be. He already knew. And his answer was this, I want a double portion. How many people would love the double portion, excuse me, of Elijah? Would you like that? Collect this for me. Yeah, how about this? You're going to have double the warfare. How many, you want it now? What do you mean double the warfare? I mean I'm going to get sick, possibly. You mean I'm going to have this problem? My car will break down over here. I'm going to have this problem. I'll be fired from my job. Maybe. But y'all already said y'all want the double portion. You see, Elisha knew what he was getting into. You talk about spiritual warfare. It's all around us. You need to be involved in the battle. You know, we were talking about the other day with a few of the Christians about how Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and that he died for all. He died for all. Even the ones that rejected him. He died. This still mind boggles me, you know. He died for them that would reject him. But he even mind boggles me. He died for me, and I know me, and I wouldn't have died for me. But think about that. These people are going to hell that reject him, not because of the sins that they do, but because of sin of unbelief. We heard about a traffic accident. Fortunately, his sister was not killed. I don't know if she's a Christian or not a Christian, but she wasn't killed. But, you know, you could walk out these doors and your life ends immediately. If you know Jesus Christ, you've gained the world of heaven, not the world of world. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you lost it all. Let me ask you this. Is there an urgency for you and for me, not only to preach the word, but to live the word? My dad, who was not a Christian until his deathbed, said, "I'm not a Christian because of Christians. Very few Christians I see living the life." He complimented Phyllis and myself because he said, "You try to live the life, so I'll listen to you." Beloved, your walk and your talk have to match. And there is an urgency. And you all have been in the Gilgal. You have to go to Bethel. But you all have to get the double portion if you can. You have to get into the spiritual warfare. So come on in with us. If you preach the word of God, oh, by the way, you have to put on the whole armor of God, and you put it on one piece at a time by prayer, and I can't get into all of that. I said to one of the elders here one time, I said, "Why does the fiery darts keep hitting me?" He said, "Brian, it's the shield of faith. You have to move it." And, you know, I can't help. I always remember that. It was a couple of years ago. I don't know if the elder remembers it. But I now try to move that shield and stop the fiery darts. It's terrible out there. But, you know, when you're out there, you still have the safety and security of Jesus Christ. You still have to surrender all. So if you go to spiritual warfare, you go to the Jericho, you're still okay. Because nothing can happen to you or me unless God has allowed it. And if he's allowed it, it's for our best interest of life eternally, not necessarily physical life. Okay. 2 Kings, verse 6. "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on." I thought, but this is a beautiful picture. Because he didn't stop, he went on. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan." They stood afar off. You know, that's the problem with Christians. Too many times we stand afar off. When a person's in trials and tribulations, you don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. We must get involved. We're to help each other. Well, these 50 prophets stood afar off. In verse 8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and he smote the waters." He takes off his clothes, and he brings it down, and he smote the waters. I won't say it, Phyllis. Because I can't find where I'm at. All right. So I said it. She said, "Don't say these things. They don't know." Yes, you do. All right. You see, you got the Jordan in front of you. You have to get to the Jordan. And so Elijah is going to walk by faith, not by sight. What would we do? We'll look for the bridge. We'll go up and down and spend all our energy looking for the narrowest path going across this Jordan, this rough river that's passing with rapids. That's not what he did. A life of faith. He took off his mantle, and he brings it down, and he touches the water. And immediately there's dry ground. Now, let me tell you, if you're at the Jordan, literally, and God didn't tell you to cross it this way, I'd be saying, don't do it. But if he has made it clear to you to get on the other side, then take off your mantle, touch the waters, and watch what happens. You see, Elijah took his mantle, he wrapped it together. This is the act of faith on Elijah's part. Elijah and Elisha did not ask how God would hold back the waters, but they trusted Jehovah to do it. It's too many of us say, well, how are you going to do this, God? And we spend having a meeting. Matter of fact, we'll get a meeting to have a meeting on how this is all going to happen. A life of faith, you know, that's the cross life. That's the life of faith where Jesus Christ said, follow me. Take up your cross. Right? Didn't he say that? Well, that's spiritual warfare, and that's the life of faith. The Christian life is a life of faith, and every step has to be a step of faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We do not move without knowing that it's God's will for our life, and we have to be totally obedient. Therefore, the cross life is a life of faith, is the life of obedience with that faith to God's revealed word as the Holy Spirit guides. It says in 8 again, and he smote the waters, and they were divided thither and hither. What God did was not new. It's happened before with Moses and Joshua and the Israelites, so that they too went over on, and it says, dry ground. Wasn't even wet. And Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And so let's stop for a moment. Elisha already knew what he was going to ask. You know, see, he could have stayed at Gilgal in the comfort and safety. No. He could have stayed at Bethel where he surrendered some. No. He could have gone to Jericho. A life of spiritual warfare, and he did go to win over the sinful self life. Beloved, that's our first spiritual war. I want to stop and take that spiritual warfare because when we became born again, when we let Jesus Christ into our heart, did we still have, how do I want to say it, junky drawers, messy closets. Anybody still have? No, don't raise your hand. Do we have these closets still? Are these messy drawers still? And, you know, every now and then what you do is you take the drawer out and you just dump it, right? And you say, clean drawer, put it back in, give it a month, maybe 2 weeks. I like to know what you did with all that stuff. It's in a box. And then you take the drawer out again, you put it back in that box. Next thing you know, you need a bigger box. At least it's not in the drawer. But anyways, this is what happens, beloved. We go in, and we have to, the first battle we face is cleaning our own house, stopping the sins that become habitual in our life, and win over the promised land. And as we go through that, Satan doesn't like it, evil doesn't like it, and then you'll have those little skirmishes. But then when you get to a point, and you never get 100% there until we get to heaven, but others need your advice. Others need your help because, you see, you're getting closer to God. By the way, if you notice this journey, there's only two people. It starts off that there's 50 prophets, they stood far off. Then they go to the next town, there's 50 more prophets, they stood afar off. You go to the next town, there's over 50 prophets. Only 50 of those, some people say 200 to 300 prophets, and only 50 came out and stood at the Jordan, but didn't go with Elisha and Elijah. You see, the more you clean your house and spend time with God and meditate on his word, the more you turn around and you'll see less and less and less people following. Why is that? We need to be there to help them to come over to Jordan. And that's why Elisha went back, to help them come over to Jordan. That's the first battle, is clean your own house and then help the local expression of the body of Jesus Christ. Because the people that come in have baggage. And we have to help them get rid of the bad baggage. If they have good baggage, you let them keep it. Bad baggage, no, bad. Go. All right. So he goes over and he places the life of faith. What did Elisha learn from this, from Elijah? He learned simple this. Gilgal, again, he had seen what it meant to be a servant of God by watching Elijah. Beloved, learn this. Pick up a disciple. Pick up someone. How do I know who I'm going to disciple? You ever figure out how you know who you're going to disciple? Turn around and look who's watching you. If they keep watching you and keep asking you questions, offer this to them. Would you like to meet with me? And we'll go through scriptures together. You know what that means? You have to sacrifice some of your time. So try that. Bring on a disciple. Elijah did with Elisha. Then what else did Elisha see? He had seen what it meant to be the servant. He witnessed how God honors such a person because he watched God honor Elijah. And he's learning. And that's Bethel. He learned how Elijah surrendered all. This was totally consecrated or set apart for God. That's what Elijah did. And Elisha learned it. And that's surrendering all. And then Jericho, the spiritual warfare. He passed many tests from the day Elijah tossed him his mantle to the crossing of the Jordan. He watched the spiritual war that Elijah went through and how he was chased and how he had to hide and all the other things he did. And for 10 years, Elisha watched him and he saw the spiritual warfare and he said, I want double that. I want double that. And you know, if you study the scriptures, you will find out that Elisha actually did twice as many miracles as Elijah. And his time in ministry was actually twice as long. Not all of it's necessarily recorded. Jordan, we see that Elisha proved he wanted to go all the way with the Lord. Now, let me ask you that. There's a big difference between surrendering all and being separated. What is the difference? One is you're completely God's. The other one is you're separating yourself from your sinful life. But you're also separating yourself to the new resurrected life. And that's a whole different way of thinking and living. That's a whole different message. Casting the mantle, we saw that that was significant. 12 o'clock. This is what he said. You watch me when I go. And I'm going to just finish it this way, and I'm going to give you that verse. He said, you watch me. You watch me go up. And you will get your double portion. What happened immediately? What happened immediately was a chariot of fire. Let me ask you this. If you're standing with someone and you all of a sudden hear the siren of an ambulance or a fire engine and you were told, just keep your eye on this particular point and you hear the siren, do you do this? You see, Elisha couldn't. If he caught his view and took his eyes off, maybe he had a vision where he could see. But he had to stay focused on Elijah. I mean, when you have a circumstances of life, beloved, do you stay focused on your scriptures, on Jesus Christ? David again said, and I said in the first, I love this verse, I would have been discouraged unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, Psalm 27, verse 13. Let's not be discouraged. Let's look and stay focused on God and God alone and the scriptures that support our walk of faith. What did he say? Then it was the horses of fire. You see, why the fire? Well, that's God's wrath. That's God's judgment. But you see, that's how Elijah preached. And we talked about his way of preaching versus the compassionate Elisha. And so, of course, he's going to go up in that whirlwind. So he stayed focused, and the mantle fell down. We'll have to stop there. But remember, the last miracle of Elijah on earth, not the whirlwind going up, but the last one he performed through the power of God, was the first miracle that Elisha performed, the parting of the Jordan. He turned around, took the same mantle, and he knew his God was there. That's another message. All right. Gilgal, security, comfort. Bethel, surrender. Jericho, spiritual warfare. I try to keep it all in the yeses, okay? And Jordan, separation, totally. What scripture of the New Testament do we have? I gave you a hint. It was in there. I actually said it, portion of it. Did you pick up on it? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Watch this. If any man will come after me, you go after Jesus Christ, you're in the comfort zone. You're in security and safety because you're following Jesus Christ. Then it says, let him deny himself. That's your surrender. Then it says, and take up the cross. That's the life of faith. That's your spiritual warfare. How many people have taken up their cross? A few? That's a question. Have you taken up your cross? If you have, let me ask you this. Did you take up your cross or someone else's? I get the biggest kick out of this. A lot of people take on everybody else's cross. And then God's going to say, did you take up your cross? I don't know. What was it, God? Well, you were so busy taking up everybody else's, you didn't take up yours. You don't get the rewards for that. You get the rewards for what I tell you. And so you have to be on your knees on that one, knowing God's will for you. Then it says this, and follow me. Well, wait a minute now. It said follow me in the first one, and then it says follow me in the second one. You know, after you take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, the spiritual warfare is fast and furious. You may not even know if it's spiritual warfare, because let me tell you this, security and safety follow you. Surrendering stays with you. To know God's will in your life is the key. But also another key is this, total, complete obedience. Step out of line, you're going to get hurt. Repent, confess, get back in the battle. Matthew 16, then follow me. Turn around. There's not going to be a lot of people. What's your job? Go back and get them. That's what Elisha did. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your scriptures, to see your thoughts. We trust they were your thoughts, Father, and not mankind's. Help us to take on these places in our life. We know each and every one of us have to go through them. As we go through them, Father, may you have honor, may you have glory. We don't like being alone. But you have promised us you will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we look close enough, we'll see that we are not alone, just like Elijah was never alone, because there was 100 of the prophets around. And there were 7,000 that didn't bow down to Baal. So help us, Father, to be encouraged as we work with one another, guiding each other, supporting each other as we spend our time with you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. May you bless each and every one that have chosen to fellowship here as well as to visit here today. Keep us all safe until we meet again. We love you, Father, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.